Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. You are listening to episode 69, Struggle Guru with Kirsten Beverly Waters. And not only is that the title of our podcast, but our guest today, Kirsten Waters, is also a fellow yogini and author. She wrote the book Struggle Guru that came out September 1st of this year. And in this book, Kirsten dives deep into an exploration of personal experience of how our individual stories and struggles help shape our biology, giving breath to our individual strengths. I love that. Kirsten's past has punctuated with seemingly insurmountable challenges, including her cancer diagnosis. But when it comes to defining the heights of her career, Kirsten credits the low moments in her life with enabling her to find her voice and harness her powers. In her book, Kirsten explores common areas of struggle that are often glossed over or skipped entirely when it comes to creating happiness and lasting wellness, and provides an innovative approach to conquering problems such as understanding your personal identity, navigating your journey through mental health, especially right now, finding your authentic voice, prioritizing your individual growth, and activating your own power. And if you guys enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you could head over to iTunes and write a review. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Somewhere in between, I would love to hear from you guys. Not only does this get witchy wellness out there to more people, but it also helps our beautiful, amazing guests such as Kirsten and her book, Struggle Guru, get out into the world, because you never know what special message you need to hear, but also somebody else, maybe your loved one, needs to hear. So if you feel called, please, I would be so grateful if you would write a review. And if you like an episode, why not share that with a loved one? You never know how that magic will unfold. So without further ado, please enjoy episode 69, Struggle Guru with Kirsten Beverly Waters. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. And I'm your host, Lauren, again, and this is a show you get to learn that your body is not in your way, but actually leading your way. And today, our guest is lovely Kirsten Beverly Waters, and she is a yoga medicine teacher, fitness coach, author, and motivational speaker. Kirsten is known for using innovative methods to movement methods to bring modern approach to yoga's ancient wisdom. Yes, we love yogis here. Teaching movement through the lens of mental wellness, whole body health, and spiritual groundedness. She helps others find their sacred body and soul connection. And not only that, she's got a new book coming out, and I think it'll be out by the time this podcast goes live. It's called Struggle Guru. So with all that, welcome to the show, Kirsten.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Me too. I always love having fellow yogis or yoginis on the show, because I feel like I make everything in life very metaphysical, or in our house, we call it the woo. And I feel like just the title of your book and what we've talked about off air about taking those struggles or those hardships in your life and turning them into gold, finding your superpower, which I think is pretty much the point of life, really, is to learn to keep going and going and doing that over and over again. And I would love to hear your own struggle guru. I'm sure there is a story behind this of how you got to doing all this beautiful work today and writing your brand new book.
Well, yes, there definitely is a story there, or there wouldn't be a book, would there, right? So struggle guru, I mean, it actually came to me in a meditation. So I have been meditating. I meditate frequently, daily, And while I was sitting in a meditation, I really thought that like 15 minutes had passed, but I had looked at the clock right before I started the meditation. And when I came out of it, it had been several hours that I'd been in the meditation. And I am a very, we'll say very straight-edged person, so I've never done any sort of like drugs or anything, but I would imagine that I felt a lot like Alice in Wonderland, like hallucinating, but it was just like, some would say my third eye was open, and I just felt all of these words start to come to me. So many of my own personal stories and experiences start to really organize themselves in a message that I really felt compelled to write about. And I sat down that day and wrote 50 pages in one sitting. And I was like, okay, this is obviously supposed to happen. Of course, then the rational brain starts to step in and be like, really, should you be writing this? And at the end of the day, the answer is yes, because struggle guru, to be very clear, I am no one's guru. I don't believe that I could ever offer anything to anyone that is so profound that they don't already possess. I like to think of myself as someone who can help guide that, like guide that knowledge, guide that understanding. But ultimately, when I see transformation in individuals and students, it comes from their own experience, their own fortitude and discipline and freedoms and experiences. But over the years, I've spent more than 15 years in fitness and wellness. The common thread to every person who ever comes to me is, how do I move from this struggle into a place of happiness, health, wisdom, peace, connection, harmony? And everyone feels like their story is so different, or it's so the same. So they feel it's so different that nobody would understand it. Like no one has ever experienced this. Or they feel the polar opposite, where it's everybody experiences this, I know everybody experiences it, so I don't need to verbalize it because it's not that important that I share my story, because that story is already out there. And what I found is I wanted people to understand that every story matters. Your version of the story matters, because you could hear the same experiences said 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 different ways, and it's always going to resonate differently. So my message as a teacher on a yoga mat, even if someone teaches the exact same sequence, will be experienced by students different just because somebody else is teaching it. The energy, the message, the cueing, the alignment, all of these things change. And so we have this amazing power within us to look at our struggles, to start writing down what these pieces are, and then learn from them so that we can empower others. For me personally, I think that it struck me at a very young age. I lost my father when I was 7 years old. It was very sudden. And I, to this day, still remember very vividly that loss and the trauma that came with that loss. And I still remember being in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, the year after it happened. My grandfather and my mother took us up, my father's father, took us up to Massachusetts and on vacation, I remember crying in a room by myself and just praying that I could see my dad one more time. And if I saw my dad one more time, that I would do anything God asked of me to help other people feel better. And I swear to this day that I saw my father, I felt him there. And some people are like, well, you were a child. You're not going to convince me otherwise, right? Like I experienced it. That's my truth. Like I saw my father, and that moment I knew that I needed to do something to help others. And flash forward, just after college, I had my own health crisis and was dealing with cancer. And that was another moment where I was like, what is happening in my life? And definitely shakes you, right? Like in any health crisis or any major crisis or trauma in our lives is going to shape us. And I met a woman while I was going through my cancer treatment who was very devout in her yoga practice and meditation. And she was the first person to really help me see that there is more beyond the physical, that I could escape, and not even escape, but I could transform my struggle into a space of power and empowerment. And unfortunately, that woman isn't here any longer, but I carry that with me. And so I felt like in the meditation about this book that she kind of came through as, you need to share your stories, you know, whether it's losing my father, experiencing cancer, struggling with my sexual orientation and coming out, being a woman as a female entrepreneur. Like these stories are important and other people need to understand them. And and feel strong enough in their own life and their own story to share them as well. So Struggle Guru really takes you from this point of my experiences and helps guide you through some of the common struggles that we experience and how to start asking yourself questions about your struggles that allow you then to move forward in your life into a space of first, just greater understanding and perspective before we start jumping in to change every single thing. Because we think that I've had all the struggles, so the first thing I need to do is run away and do the complete opposite. When really it's, let's just start with step one, right? Like step one, let's identify what we consider struggles in our lives. And then let's look at what those struggles have brought into our life. So take an inventory before you remove everything and try to start from scratch. So my hope is that as people read my story and read some of my experiences and experiences of students and athletes that I've trained and coached over the years, that it'll resonate with them on a level that allows them to feel their voice begin to emerge, and mine will begin to fade as they move through the pages, and they'll start to hear their own voice start to tell them the story and work through their own struggles.
I love it. It reminds me of the hero story, right? Right. With Joseph Campbell, and right. That whole, and we all can relate to that. I mean, example of like Star Wars, everybody pretty much knows Star Wars story. Right. And we go through those little mini hero journeys throughout a season in our life, throughout our entire lifetime. And that's why I always have people, our guests on Witchy Wellness Radio, start off telling their own story. Because first of all, I just love hearing people's heartwarming stories and transformation, but that's how we can relate, you know, oh, I felt that way before in my life, or wow, she's really overcome that. And I'm working on overcoming that. If she could do that, I could too. You know, and like you said, you begin to relate more and more to yourself. And I love what you said about, you know, I'm not your guru. I'm not going to do this for you. In our household, my partner David is a yogi as well. And we always say, you know, we talk about all the Sanskrit and guru type stuff. And I had trouble a lot with some of the bigger yogi, you know, guru people who are so obsessed with these ascended masters. And I'm like, listen, you got to figure out your own stuff. But the word guru means bringer of the light. And that's all it is. And when I can kind of detach from that and say, yeah, I'm a guru. I want to bring the light in myself, not to outshine anybody, but to help show the way for others to do the same for themselves. And I think that's so important, especially with any self-help or spirituality practice or health and wellness. It has to be anchored in that wisdom of like empowering other people to do that. I mean, and that's just the basis of what you do, the basis of that book, which is awesome, is to find your own struggle and transmute that into your superpower. So I love that little phrase you have. I would love to, like, I don't want to say little phrase. It's a big phrase. It's a lot in that little sentence. So let's dive in a little bit more there. How, you know, someone might listen, might be inspired at this point, but they're like, all right, I'm here. I'm at point A. How do I get to point A to point Z? Because a lot of the time people think once I get to point Z, then I'll be happy.
Right. And that's such a great question, because I hear that so often, like, if I just have X, then I will be happy. And especially like in the fitness world, it's, well, if I have a six pack or a smaller pant size, then I will be happy. And I always tell them, I know plenty of people with six packs in horrible marriages, crappy jobs, and dysfunctional relationships with people. Like it doesn't equate. It's not apples to apples, right? But you made a really good point. What is your starting point? Like, so that's the first part. If you've ever tried to set like a GPS, right, you have to have a starting location or you have nowhere to go. And that's the first part of Struggle Guru, is you are here taking an assessment, taking that inventory of looking at what our struggle is. And, you know, I often ask my students when they're landing on the mat or I'm in a retreat setting, let's not judge where we're at. Okay, because it's really easy to be like, well, this isn't where I want to be. That's okay. Nobody says you have to stay here, but you have to know where you are in order to know where you want to go. So that's step one, is where am I going? And the next part, which I discuss in the book, is understanding your compass. So if anybody is an outdoorsy person, enjoys nature, and has worked any time with compass, you know that knowing a true north is very, very important. And if your compass is off by 1 degree, it might not make a difference if you're walking 50 yards ahead of you. You might be a slightly askew. But if I go 200 miles, 1 degree off, I could be in another country, right? Like, and that's where a lot of us end up, right? Like in our lives, we're just 1 degree off of what our true north is, of who our true self is. And because of that, our true self, like we try to mimic someone that we try to emulate, someone that we really admire, someone, our that guru, right? Like we try to emulate this person, but it's 1 degree off who we really are. And all of a sudden it's 30 years down the road and you're like, you're looking in the mirror saying, who is this person? This isn't me. And I don't recognize this. And that's where we become so attached to the likes on social media, then liking the person we're looking back in the mirror, right? Like how many people have stood, like thought they had the most amazing post in the world and are just waiting to see how many hearts they have, but can't look in the mirror and say, you're beautiful, you're smart, you're strong, you're capable. And so understanding our compass, I have different directional points. So north is our true self, right? Like that's our ultimate direction, but understanding who we are is anchored in the South, right? There is no North without South. It'd be irrelevant, right? Just like if there's no black, there's no white, like we don't have a comparison, duality. South is our spirituality. That's what anchors our true self. And you don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in a God, but you have a belief system. Every person has a belief system. And taking an inventory of what your belief system is, what it is you truly believe, what are moral, ethical characteristics of yourself that you refuse to waver on, that is going to start to send direction to what your true self, what your true north really is. And our east and our west, our east is our external experiences, things that happen outside of us, our life experiences, our education. This influences our western, which is wisdom. So influencing our wisdom, our experiences, our education influence that. Now, if our education is very singularly tracked, we always, again, follow the same type of people, never listen to different ideas, always stay on the one track of struggle, our wisdom will be skewed, right? And we can't change that without taking an inventory again of our compass. So just starting in that compass of sitting down and saying north, south, east, west, what are these things? What are some of my educations? What are some of the wisdoms I've had? What are some of the wisdoms I share? This helps us to understand a better idea of what our compass looks like so that we can start to create that direction of how do I take myself from struggle into superpower, right? Like you're setting your compass. I want to go X to X point. And understanding that, again, using a nature metaphor, so many people love to summit the mountain, right? To see the gorgeous views. But usually what happens is if you stand on the top of the mountain, you look across the way and you see another mountain that you're like, wow, that one looks even cooler. I want to go there. But to get to that mountain, you cannot just leap from mountaintop to mountaintop. There is a valley between these two. And we have this skewed vision that once we hit this peak, and it can be any peak. It could be once I get my degree or graduate high school or I get married, whatever that peak is for you, you think that you just peak hop, like you never drop down. So when you do, you're like, it's that expectation that like tumbles you down the mountain. And rather than walking on your own accord, it's like somebody threw you down the mountain. Like Jack and Jill went up the hill and we know how that ends, right? Like she just goes tumbling down after. And when we get to the bottom, we're looking up and we're like, how did I get here? This hurts so, so bad. So understanding that there's this ebb and flow, right? Like there's crests, there's valleys, there's peaks. It's a journey. And as someone who has been sick, who has spent a lot of time with people on their dying breath, you know, I know that none of them looking back would have said, I wish I spent more time on the treadmill to lose weight. I wish that I had a higher paying job. The things that come up are, I wish I spent more time with my family. That's a value that I didn't appreciate until it was taken away from me. Or I wish I would have moved my body in a way that made me feel empowered and made me love my body instead of moving in a way that is always punishing myself. We definitely fall into this culture of, unless I'm pushing hard, and I'm lying in a pool of my sweat, which believe me, I have been this person, right? Like unless I have pushed to this level, it wasn't enough. And what I'm saying isn't that that workout wasn't enough. It's that I'm not enough. So that's the story. So Struggle Guru, like the subtitle is our biography is influencing our biology. So ultimately the stories we tell ourselves every single day, our compass is influencing the way we breathe, we move, we think, and we interact. And if we want to change that struggle into something that story that's different, then we have to take a look at the compass. And this is a very like simplified analogy. If I asked you to write a book about your life and you wrote chapter one and you start going through your life, and then chapter two was the exact same chapter as chapter one, and chapter three was the exact same as chapter one, would you recognize that it was the exact same story over and over? My guess is yes, reading it. Like, could you imagine picking up a novel from the library or the bookstore and it's the same chapter over and over? You would think the publisher made a mistake, right? But most people keep rewriting the same chapter over and over and over again. If you get a chapter for each year of your life, I'm going to be 36 next week. I would have 36 chapters of the same thing. I would probably lose my mind by like chapter three. Like I'd probably be like, maybe it was a typo. Chapter three will be fine. But by chapter three, I would be throwing that book across the room. But so many of us are like, I'm just going to keep writing it, right? Like same relationship problems, same professional problems. It's definitely going to change. I'm going to do the exact same thing and expect a different result, right? Like, and again, I've been here and that's where starting with that compass, take a look at where you are. We can start to redirect it and not being so hard on ourselves, like having a little grace with ourselves. We are human. We are fallible. We make mistakes. That doesn't make you a horrible person. That doesn't mean that you're doomed to never find love or find the right job or to engage in the community and people and movement and breath that you want. You have that power. It's within you. And my hope is that I can continue to pull that out of you and say, why? Why do you want this? Why do you want this? What do you really want? And the compass is the most visual way. And we have a compass like picture in the book that you can like write at the back of the journal portion and start to get a very visual piece of what that looks like for you and put it up on your walls and look at it and be like, this is what I want. This is the direction I want to go. And I feel like that's very helpful for people to see that.
Agreed. And I just have to say, yeah, the definition of insanity, right, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Yeah. And we become addicted to those thoughts, those behaviors, those patterns, and those lives. Like, it's biologically your body. Like, if I just cut coffee and it's been a thing I've been trying to do on and off for like years, and I only had to have one cup a day, but my body and caffeine do not mix well. But it was that habit. Like if you're addicted to anything, like smoking cigarettes, coffee, it's like me waking up, looking forward to that warm cup of whatever Joe in the morning and the smell and like the whole sensory experience. But I had to take a look back and say, okay, why am I doing this? Is this actually making me feel good? Because my skin would start breaking out. It would make me more anxious and more stressed. And, you know, the list goes on. This is just a very silly, small example. But I just needed to share my side of, you know, story to say, hey, you know, just like what you were saying, figure out where you are, being okay with that, and figuring out why, the underlying reasons why. And you kind of wrapped up that last answer with, you know, we almost punish ourselves for, you know, not doing enough, not being enough. And it really, I mean, I think it's a universal thing. It's this lack of worthiness. And for me in my journey and you know, people that I've seen and helped with, it's really digging into why we don't think that we're really worthy or deserving of that. Can you speak a little bit about that? Because I think in any area of your life, that's really to the core of some of these big, big misbeliefs.
Absolutely. Well, and I mean, there are multitudes of layers that could come in from like looking at psychology or looking at epigenetics and looking at even how that is playing a role into our bodies and our systems and gene expression and stress response, looking at our nervous system. But on a very simplified level, again, it comes back to taking that inventory and looking at where we're, what are the stories that have led up to this moment? And looking through some of it, you know, I tell people that many times people dislike yoga for the same reason I found as a running coach that they dislike running. You're alone with your thoughts, and every thought, good, bad, and in between, arises, right? Like it bubbles up, which is why in running, so many people run with headphones. They're like, no, I can't listen to my breath. I can't listen to my feet pounding. And I'm like, but those are cues. Like that's your body trying to tell you something to adjust. And our body stores everything, right? Like it's a very intelligent, living, breathing entity, not just because we're humans, but it feels the pain of rejection and bullying in high school. It feels the pain of, you know, physical trauma or mental trauma. And we're afraid to unpack that because going back to what you're saying, that it will mean that I am not enough. And what I try to bring people back is part of it is the labeling that we place on ourselves. So I use in the book, I discuss the Nalgene dilemma. So, you know, a Nalgene water bottle, right? Many people put stickers on them, like a lot of stickers on them. And imagine this container had a purpose from its conception. Capitalistic, obviously, but that aside, it's to contain water. That purpose is clear. The first sticker that got put on it was probably put on it by someone who just wanted to differentiate from their friend to make sure that they didn't drink from their water bottle. But then their friend put the same sticker on. So they added another one and they add another one and they add another one. Soon the container is covered in stickers, so much so that it even wraps around the top of the lid and around it. Its purpose is hidden under all of the labels. And we do this from birth, from everything from labeling your gender to religion to people saying, you're so smart, you're a brat, like you're needy, like you're emotional, like you're strong, you're we place these labels on our container, our human fleshy container, and our purpose gets hidden beneath it. And we're afraid to peel back those labels and say, I'm not this, I'm not this, I don't have to be this, I can own this, right? And that's what we have to do is, again, looking at our stories and being honest with ourselves. If we can't be honest with our struggle, we will continue to repeat it, right? When you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. So unless we can be really vulnerable, and that's so hard. And I find, especially like men that I've taught or coached, they're like, vulnerability is a weakness. And certainly people like Brené Brown has helped to like shift people a little bit towards this direction of vulnerability is a strength and it takes courage and it takes power, which deconstruct some of that mindset. But ultimately, being vulnerable is hard for everyone because it forces us to look at the darkest parts of ourselves that we're uncomfortable with and those stories that started from the playground, our homes, our colleges, our friendship circles, and how do we break out of that? So it's not easy, right? Like none of those things are going to be easy, but growth is never easy. And the beautiful thing is we have a lifetime to work through these things. And many people are sold on in 30 days, I'll change your body. In 60 days, I'll change your mindset. I want something sustainable. I want something that continues to push my edge. It's what I love in yoga is this continuous harmony between edge and ease. I want to push the edge a little bit. So each time my brain, my body, my spirit expands just a little bit more and it makes me uncomfortable, but I'm not throwing myself off the cliff. Okay. Like, and we've done it. Like we've all done it. Like we forced a pose. We did the workout. We restricted our nutrition in a way. Like we constricted ourselves and try to control everything. Let ourselves move from a space that is more fluid from our vulnerability of our story, and you'll start to notice that you'll start to make these changes yourself.
Yes, 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 yes. I've definitely been there in yoga where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to do full bird of paradise today, even though my hamstrings are not open at all. Yeah. Try walking next week. Not going to happen. Yeah. It's that balance, right? It's that divine masculine, feminine, inward, outward flow of balance. And that's something that I love playing with in my own life. It's like, okay, I need to get my internal stuff right. Because when I can be aligned and focused and know who I really, really am, then I can take that aligned action outward. But you have to be that mirror for yourself. Sometimes, you know, I like to have, I say that I'm internalizing and manifesting and doing all this stuff, but I'm really just like an analysis paralysis, right? I'm just really in my head. And what I love about yoga and running is it forces you to be present. You can't be doing an inversion and thinking about your grocery list. Like, you're going to fall over. Like, you have to be present. And for me, you know, in my meditation practice too, when you are so present that you lose every sense of who you are, all those labels are peeled off. They're nowhere to be seen. You don't even know what dimension you're in. Like, you are just like, that's probably how you downloaded that book in your meditation. You were just out there. The irony is, the more you can let go of who you think you are and are just become that present moment, then that's when you really know who you truly are supposed to be without those labels. And I think for me, that's exactly what you're talking about. And I love that analogy. The purpose, you don't even know what it is, what the purpose is anymore. You're covering that up. So we go, go through being present. Where are we now? And being okay with that to get to where we want to be. How do we incorporate through that process our own stories? Because I love individual stories, but I also love how you incorporate, like you talk about epigenetics and your biology and how the stories we tell ourselves actually impact that.
You know, so if I look at my story, stories, anyone looks at their stories, I take people back. So looking at your stories, now I ask, what are the three needs that you have in your life? Not once. So people are like, well, I want a better job. I want a better body. What are the needs that if I asked you right now that you could not live without, what would they be? And I've spent a lot of time with this, looking at my story. What is the common thread? Even if it's like, okay, there's dysfunction in all of my relationships, right? Like, and I'm the common denominator in every dysfunctional relationship, okay? So I'm just being clear about it. But I bring the fun to the dysfunction. I want to be very clear about that. So, but if I'm looking at that, rather than trying to label and restrict all of these various stories, if I can sit with the stories for just a moment and say, what are my three needs out of this? What do I need to be happy, to be healthy, and to create that direction, that energy shift? You know, for me, it's breath, movement, and nature. It always comes back to that. Breath, movement, and nature. One, breath, as a yoga teacher, is truly the most spiritual act that as I've struggled with illness and I've worked with others who struggled with illness, seeing people appreciate the breath. There are so many things that I can do. I can do meditation I can do meditations for the breath. I can do breathing exercise. I can do cardiovascular activities that are working my breath. Movement isn't just about physical body. Movement can also be reading, educating myself, engaging in conversations like these, where it makes me think this is movement, right? Like, this is change. Nature, I believe wholeheartedly in my experiences, I take people on retreats and I work with people one-on-one. When I take people out of the four walls, the confines of structural space, and take them into a free-flowing space, which contains the exact same elements that make up the human body, are in the dirt, in the trees, in the animals around us, the walls come down and we can find vulnerability. Grown men have cried on mountaintops with me as we're going for a hike and we're having a conversation. Women who have literally been on the battlefield overseas for our country have realized levels of PTSD that they didn't even know were there while we're sitting in a circle just around a campfire, right? Like, these things are so important. So nature for me is rooted in everything. So when I look at those three things, each day I can come back to my story and say, okay, I don't love my job, but here are my three needs. I need something today that's going to shift me out of the struggle that deals with movement, breath, and nature. And it also gives me something to go back and be like, at the end of the day, when someone's like, what did you accomplish? You can be like, okay, I got up and I did a breathing meditation for 2 minutes. Doesn't have to be long. I read a chapter in a book. I do a reading every day, actually, with my wife. And then the third one is I went for a walk with my dog out in nature. Okay, those are three things that I did that addressed my needs and shifted my mindset and energy out of struggle closer to where I want to be. Like, that's how we start to make the shift, right? Like, an object in motion stays in motion unless acted upon by an equal or opposite force, right? Like, let's bring it back to some science here. So that force is our needs. Our needs will shift it. And then you can be fluid with your wants. Like, those three needs, every day I could change it. My movement might be running one day. It might be yoga the next. It might be a movement towards foods that help me feel better. And I want to be clear about that because I have worked with a lot of people over the years who are like, well, Kirsten, what diet do you like? None of them. First of all, diet is in the word. You should avoid anything that says diet, right? Like, I want to live. I want to thrive, right? So then people start getting really smart. And they're like, here's my Thrive Nutrition. And I'm not picking on Thrive Nutrition, Thrive Markets, none of these things, okay? These are good places. But the marketing of it is still around restriction, elimination. Why can't we move from a place of moving towards, going in, adding to? We try to subtract all these things from our lives thinking that it's going to make our life better, but it's not. Like, we can add enriching foods to the nutrition that we have. We can add more water. Yes, you're going to have to subtract some things, but you'll start to find that harmony as you focus on those needs. So I definitely encourage people who are listening now. I hope if you do nothing else, you sit down and go, what are three needs that I absolutely cannot live without in my life? Because that's going to start to shift that story for people and allow them to take that energy forward.
I love that. I love that so much. And I'm here thinking about my three needs. I'm like, oh girl, your three needs are pretty good. I don't know. Like, would I chat? Yeah. I'm definitely going to dig into that after this recording. So thank you. Especially the breath, prana as a yogi, like that's life force, right? And to get your breath moving and grooving, for me, like it's everything just flowing and together. And I think a different way of explaining what you just said, for me, I was super into law of attraction for a long time. I still am. And it's about when you want to manifest like the new job or the relationship or blah, 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 blah. It's not about that end goal. It's about those feelings. How are you going to feel when you have that or you are that? And I was really thinking about that when you were talking about these three needs, is you're adding in more of those core feelings. Danielle Laporte, she's a, Fire Star Sessions and Desire Map. She does what are your core desire feelings and adding more in every single day. It's not, and I love what you say, because I diet culture this, everybody's like, what are you doing now, Lauren? What are you eating? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I've been plant-based-ish for like 15 years. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. Majority of time I am, but it's adding things like what makes me feel good. And that changes yearly. It changes every decade. It changes throughout the month as a woman. Like,
you need to
eat. It should. It even my movement. And I have to say, PSA for the ladies out there who think doing a HIIT workout and all this other stuff, well, like on your first day of your period is a good idea. Maybe it is for you. But for me, I'm lucky if I want to just do some yin yoga. And it's not because I couldn't go running or I couldn't do a HIIT workout. It's because I love my body. And my body is in its peak, like, moment of the month where it's, you know, optimal performance inside. I'm like, I'm going to treat it right. I'm going to do restorative things. And it's about adding in that moment more of those things that fill you up. And
to that, yeah. Though, I think one of the things that's difficult, especially for women, so
yeah,
I gained a lot of weight. Like, at one point, I was 230, almost 240, right? Like, so now I'm sitting probably like 170 pounds, but I'm mm-hmm. 170 pounds of pretty solid muscle, yeah. Right? Like, for myself, I'm a healthy person.
Yeah.
But I have found over the years that definitely women who tend towards naturally falling into a thinner or fitter looking physique give themselves more permission to do restorative and to slow down than women who are carrying extra weight or perceived as carrying extra weight, because mm-hmm. they fear, as I have, and anyone listening who's in this situation, I hear you, I feel you, I see you, that if I skip that HIIT workout, I'm that much further away from losing the weight. I have to stay in this body that much longer. And really, that workout, that weight loss is about self-loathing in most cases, not about self-love. And it's not even our own self-loathing. It's what we've allowed in to our mindset, into our bodies, that we've manifested into this struggle that the only way I am worthy is if I fit into this pant size. And then when we get there and we don't receive the praise or the appreciation or the love or the strength that we thought we would, we fall back. We slide back. How many people slide back into these old ways? How many times have I slid back into these ways? And it wasn't until I started to say, even in yoga, I used to do poses and push myself to levels that were unnecessary because I felt like I had to be considered strong, to be a good yogi, instead of saying, What does my body really need? And sometimes the greatest act of strength is not doing. We are human beings, but we've become human doings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am is a present statement. Yep. And human being is being as a part of am. So in order to be the best human being, I am going to have to stay right here in this moment and be present in this body and not forget that it doesn't matter what the shape of your body is. That body was strong enough to get you to this moment. And I assure you, there are people out there lying in hospital beds, injured, hurt, sick, and broken, who would give anything to be in your body, regardless of what shape it is. And when you start to wrap your mind around the fact that, yes, it is powerful. I birth children. I own my own business. I run marathons. I get up and I take my dog for a walk. Like, I'm breathing. I'm living. I'm a human being. It is empowering. And it is hard to give those women, and men too, I'm not taking away from men, but my experience most specifically with women is give yourself permission to do the yin practice or to take the slow walk. You don't have to punish and beat down your body, because really you're just beating down your spirit even more. And sometimes those moments where you step back, you'll start to see, what would you say to your friend who is saying those same thoughts that you're saying to yourself? You're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. Don't you dare eat that cupcake. It's not okay. Like, and I'm certainly not the girl who like is not eating the cupcake. There's a joke that I moved to Maine for a donut shop. It was even featured in a magazine. They're like, this girl said she moved here because of donuts. I am not ashamed of my love for the sweets, right? Like, but I'm also not going to punish myself by eating the sweet and then getting on the treadmill and being like, I have to do this many miles to burn it off. And that's so hard. And that's like a key theme through Struggle Guru, especially like for women, is addressing the weight and the image issue, because we hear it, but I don't think we're hearing it enough. So if there's any story that any woman could share with their friend, with their fellow female coworkers, neighbors, family members, please tell them how you're really feeling. I literally today taught a yoga class where we were going into extended sighting, and I'm like, listen, I still have love handles. And it hurts to come into extended side angle because I'm squishing my fat. And like, I had a woman like laugh at me and she's like, you don't have love handles. It doesn't really look like that. I'm like, no, it is. And it hurts. And people don't know that like there are a ton of nerve endings in the fat cells and it hurts when it pinches. Like that's a real thing. But it doesn't mean that I'm less of a yogi or I'm less powerful in the pose. But I watch people shrink forward and rotate and their alignment change because they don't think that their space is worthy because people will notice them. Own that. Own your body. Be seen. Be powerful. And share your story with someone else that by me being strong and me being powerful on my mat, in the gym, on the trails, wherever, another woman is going to feel empowered to do it and not hide and shrink down and feel like she is less than just because of the size of her pants, right? Like, and that's why I agree wholeheartedly with the diet culture and what it's doing to women and I mean, media in general. Like we continue to tell women, if you don't look this specific way, this is probably the biggest struggle that the average woman is going through right now. They can never get to their professional struggles, their relational struggles, because they are fixated on the physical body that is hiding the very essence of their true being. Because our authentic self lives within, to steal the term from Catherine Budig, our meat suit, right? Like, or Lady Gaga, she said it too. But like literally within us, this soul, this entity, is really just encased in this flesh and bone. And you are so much more. If every person on this planet was blind, how would people perceive you? Would your energy, would your light, would your truth, would your story shine through? I imagine it would, if we could be authentic to who we really are. And that's so important for us to, that's why your story is so important. That's why more people need to share it, because then your authentic self shines through and that is more powerful than any shape that we could create with our bodies or our haircuts or our makeup or anything else.
Yes. I just feel like I need to just like, yes, agree so much, raise roof. I'm sure, I mean, like myself, I'm going to have to read this book and I'm sure all the listeners are going to be tuned into this. Other than the book, I mean, you mentioned kind of coaching, you're a yoga teacher, you do retreats. How can we get in touch with you if we want to work with you more?
So the easiest way to get a hold of me or connect with me is through my website. So it's kbwaters.com. So that's a pretty simple way to do it. On there, I have information about my coaching, my retreats, which is a part of Arrow Wellness. That, just to be clear, Arrow is A-I-I-R-O, which is actually Japanese for indigo, and that's our third eye in yoga, so that's the connection. And I also have an arrow tattoo on the arm that I'm always reminded that anytime life feels like it's drawing you back, it's only because it's trying to propel you forward. That's my cheesy tattoo. I'm sorry for those of you listening who are like, that girl, really? Seriously? Yes, I'm that girl, and I own it, okay? I'm proud of it. But kbwaters.com, they'll find the information for the book. We can do one-on-one coaching. I have some online programs that are coming out that tie to Struggle Guru. So we're going to be doing a virtual, basically book club where we're going to dive in and you'll get more specific stuff for you individually to start working on this and how I can help you through it. And then, you know, always connect with me on social media and my links are on that website. So you can go on there and just drop me a message. Just say hello. Love to hear from people.
Awesome. I'm always amazed. Like I look down at my timer here. I'm like, wow, we're already at the end of the show. How is that possible? So thank you. So, I mean, I learned so much. I love having beautiful guests like you on the show. Like if anything, I wouldn't even need to share these videos. Like the recording, I'm like, this is just for me. And I started this podcast because I wanted to share my story and my voice and help others do the same. So thank you because
thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, it opens my heart and my third eye to just endless possibilities there are out there. And don't think that you're too special or not special enough to have your story told. Like you said, you feel like you fall into those categories. We all, you know, so this is the woo coming out, but we all come from the same place. We all come from that divine unity, consciousness of love. And what would life feel like? Who would you be if that's where you came from, if you lived that in this 3D reality, and I have to remind myself that all the time. But Kirsten, thank you so much for coming on. I enjoyed it immensely. And thank you for showing up for yourself through all your struggles and now turned into beautiful superpowers to help everybody listening. And with every show, I always, you know, as an act of gratitude, of service in return for you showing up for us today, how may we, the listeners, be of service for you in return?
I think it still comes back to that connection at very least. Like, drop me a line, send me a message. I love connecting with people. Certainly, I would love for more people to share in the book and hear your stories from it. Please send information, tag me if you purchase the book so that I can know about your experience along the way. And just know that I see you and I'm here for you. Like, don't hesitate to reach out, because ultimately our connection is most important to me, and we can universally come together and truly make a change. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So I hope that people will reach out either digitally or through purchasing the book. So.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.